Hello again, and welcome to another Big Gay Date. My name is Dave Mosley.
My name's Carl Skeens.
And tonight we are watching Tim Burton's 1988 masterpiece, Beetlejuice, with Michael Keaton.
I like that you used the word masterpiece, because it really is.
I don't know, it's just the first word that comes to mind. I mean, I feel like we overuse classic, to be honest. Well, this is an interesting film, because when you really think about it, I mean, this is a film that is... The sum of its parts is better than... No, wait, how am I trying to say this? There's a lot of things wrong with this movie when you really kind of examine it.
Yeah, but this movie and Edward Scissorhands were the ones that basically set the tone for Tim Burton's entire...
Yeah, it's... There's some real problems with this movie, like in the story department. But the design, the aesthetic, you know, that it's just dripping with what we now associate as classic Tim Burton, and... the charismatic appeal and nature of Michael Keaton completely make you overlook all of these things.
Oh, yeah. Well, Michael Keaton is amazing. You kind of wish there was a demon whorehouse up on the hill in real life and not just on the table. Would that not be the dopest bar, though? Why has Universal not done that? Why have they not built that?
Well, a bar that looks like the fucking whorehouse.
Yeah!
I don't know. I mean, it's definitely something that I completely forgot about as a kid.
Uh-huh.
That whole scene there. Have we transitioned to the model yet?
I think
we have.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. There's a point where you can see it, but back when this movie came out, it was like, whoa, what the fuck? Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in this movie that I remember. I remember loving this movie as a kid, but now I watch it as an adult, I'm like, oh God, like, why did I enjoy this so much? I think what it was is I enjoyed the cartoon way more. But that was a wildly different beast. It's basically just Beetlejuice and Delia. What's her fucking name?
Yeah.
Delia?
I don't know, but...
The Winona Ryder's character. Yeah,
the depressed girl.
Yeah. It's literally just those two. And the rest of this movie, like, I don't know. I think I remembered way too much about the cartoon, and I just thought I liked the movie. Mm-hmm. Which is a good movie, but... I look at this and I'm like, why would a kid be into this? It's mm-hmm. so fucking weird.
Who's your favorite character in it? And don't say Beetlejuice.
I
like the old lady that smokes like a
chimney. I was gonna say some of my favorite characters, just in terms of like the design and how memorable they are. They're definitely in the underworld.
Oh yeah, the beauty queen.
Yeah, the guy with the shrunken head and shit.
The guy that's flat and got run mm-hmm. over. The whole football team, which when you look back and actually listen to what they're saying, you're like, oh my God, that's really sad. That's really sad.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't pick out just one, but definitely those characters are way more interesting than the humans.
Mm-hmm.
But Beetlejuice is, I mean, I think he probably would still be my favorite fucking character, despite the fact that he's barely in his own film.
Mm-hmm.
He's in it for like 17 minutes of screen time, I think I read.
I just watched Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Okay.
Where's
this going?
Do not know how I feel about the Johnny Depp reveal at the end.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm unsure, but not leaning on the direction of awesome.
Right.
Uh-uh. In no way. I definitely did not love that movie.
I actually gave up an hour into it. I have not seen the end of it yet.
I watched it for sake of completion, you know, but meh.
See, I'm not that big of a fan, though. I wasn't going to just sit through it just for the sheer
I had to just because I read all the books and,
uh-huh.
you know.
Sure.
I had to commit, and it was, I'm not going to say it was a mistake, but The actual Harry Potter movies that I spent time watching, that was not time wasted.
No, they were really surprising.
I could have done my laundry.
Remember when Tim Burton used Michael Keaton a bunch and then discovered Johnny Depp and it was, bye, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
God, creeper. Alec Baldwin as well. I only knew him from this, and then the next thing I knew, like, I did not watch any of the other movies he did, like Hunt for Red October or any of that kind of shit. Next time I saw him was, like, 30 Rock. And God, he aged, you know?
Yeah.
Like, got much bigger, and it's so weird. He is, like, super skinny, super, super young here.
Mm-hmm. And then the weird-ass Baldwin brothers. There's Alec, there's Adam, and who's the other one?
Steven.
Oh, they're so weird.
There's four, right?
I think so.
And who's the fourth one? William. Billy Baldwin. Yeah.
It's so fucking weird.
So, summarize this movie in 15 seconds.
People die, haunt the house, want to get people out of their house, and then Beetlejuice just fucks everything up.
And that's the thing that you kind of forgive the fact it doesn't make any fucking sense, but when these guys die and they go back to their house, nobody can see them.
Yeah.
And then they spend the rest of the movie learning how to be really scary, but
it's like that scene in Ghost where the dude that yells all the time, teaches them how to, like, move a can and a quarter and shit. Like, mm-hmm. You gotta learn. if you become a ghost, you don't just do all the ghosty shit straight out the gate. Like, there's technique and finesse, mm-hmm. apparently.
But why do they bother learning if they can't be seen?
You can't be seen, but if you can affect other things, those can be seen.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, when she takes a picture later, and their feet are not in the picture, but the cloth
is. But they're affecting the sheets.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Fucking dog. Gonna fuck everything up. Suddenly becomes a very fucking different movie right here.
Uh-huh.
You know? Or specifically, no, when they return back to the house and it's, like, really dark and,
Dog, don't move. Don't you move. Fuck you, dog. Okay, their windows are open. They could have easily... At least one of them. Now, okay, they died here in the river.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they not haunting that bridge like trolls or haunting the river? Why did their ghost get sucked back to their house? Are their bodies... Are we going off American Horror Story rules?
Well, the rules are American Horror Story.
You gotta be buried. Like, you gotta...
You haunt wherever you're buried? Or?
You haunt where your body is.
Okay.
Like in Hotel, the dude wanted to die out on the street, not right. in the hotel, so that he didn't get stuck there.
Gotcha, yeah. That's a good point. Is this the really obvious fake hand popping up here?
Which it didn't have to be. Now, what are you drinking tonight?
I am drinking Bud Light, and I'm actually nursing it because we had a very heavy night on Monday over here. We hosted my friend Carlo from back in town, and he had his birthday. We went out to a bar in Orlando, and then we came back here to record a very special episode of his podcast, Mall of America.
Cool.
America with a K, Mall with a U. It was fun. We had a round table of like six people. It was not kind of what I was expecting, honestly. I figured if he had too many people, the podcast could get very out of control very quickly. That's why I like having it with just like the two of us, mm-hmm. you know. It's really easy to manage. I figure the more people you throw in there, the more kind of chaotic it becomes. Everyone's trying to jump in and say their one thing. It just becomes a pass the mic game, you know. And it kind of did.
Everyone's honestly talking but not listening.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Plus, everyone was drinking as well. I was not helping matters by bringing shots like every 10 minutes just to the table. Mm-hmm. Just like, why the fuck not? Yeah, it was. I listened a little to some of the because we used our microphones as extra mics to pass around and everything, so that you'd have more audio to work with. I listened to a little bit of what I recorded. I have no idea how he managed to edit it down into a coherent episode, but apparently they did. There was no structure. There was no semblance of anybody really listening to anything that anyone was saying. It was madness. It was fucking madness. Still, had a great fucking time. That's awesome. It was a lot of fun.
As long as you have fun.
Mm-hmm. It was a good time.
Hell yeah.
Do not remember a period of about 3 hours. I woke up in my bed. I went to go and get another drink. Next thing I know, I woke up in bed, really confused why I was in bed. I came out, and they were all playing Cards Against Humanity, so I just sat down like nothing happened and started playing that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were up until about 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning playing Rock Band, just me and my wife. So
that's what's up. I'm glad he's doing well.
Yeah, it was good. He's having a lot of fun with his podcast.
Is he back in town?
He left actually today.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, and so that's why I'm nursing some Bud Light tonight. How about yourself?
I am drinking Guinness just because I have not really. I've been passing out a lot at home and sleeping on my breaks at work and forgetting my lunchbox and my wallet on a pretty regular basis. So I was at work since like Monday. Both times I've forgotten my goddamn lunch. And I'm super hungry. I haven't been eating much. That's why I'm drinking Guinness, because it's like meals and stoner mentality. If I eat enough tonight, I'm going to be like, fuck it. I'm not going to be hungry till Friday. So
let me know how that works out for you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, most of the time, the last few times that I've left here, I haven't even realized I was at work till like 11.
You start at what, 6:30?
Yeah, it was 6. Yeah, yeah. I clock in at like 5:45. And I have literally shown up to work, and they're like, hey, man, are you okay, or did you podcast last night? I'm like, the second one. And they're like, all right, cool. Well, here's some juice.
We'll see you in a couple hours.
Yeah, here's some easy work.
That's nice. They got you. They know the score now.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm nursing hangovers and shit. And
yeah. I was doing that all yesterday. It was a bad, bad day. I got nothing done. Slept until like 6 o'clock in the evening. Ordered some Uber Eats because just did not want to look at the outdoors, let alone step outside.
I had a lot of buddies that like delivering for Uber Eats and like specifically and not like driving Uber, because Uber Eats, they can just like, if they got like a buddy that's off that day, their homie can just roll around with them. And since you don't have people in the car, they're literally just rolling around bullshitting and smoking blunts and dropping off people's food.
So as we always do here on Big Gay Day, we're going to be picking our favorite moments of the movie to take some shots. I don't want to, but it seems like we've got to stick with tradition. So with that said, do you have a favorite moment of this movie?
I have so many favorite moments. However, the last time I had more than one favorite moment, I was drunker for longer.
It's true. Every moment you say this is my favorite moment, we're going to take a shot. So that's why it's best just to pick one.
Mm-hmm. All of my favorite moments consist of being on the other side.
Okay.
But I assume that your favorite moment will probably be in that same like area. I'm going to go with when the chalkboard door on the wall opens. Yeah, and they first see the like that first peering in. I'll take that.
Okay.
And I'm not even going to lie, in my new place, I've literally, you mentioned Beetlejuice, but like I want to put the door on my wall.
Man, that's a great fucking idea. We have brickwork right here at this fireplace in the middle of our house, and we've just covered up a whole side with a bookcase. Why didn't we just do a fucking chalk door right there?
Yep.
That would have looked so boss. Uh-huh. Damn. Well, yeah, now I gotta find a favorite moment that is...
Those weird-ass sculptures.
Oh, my God.
Which is clearly not actual stone. You should pick that shit up way too easy. Mm-hmm.
Someone's cutting corners.
No, somebody's just not acting.
Yeah.
Like in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids with gigantic foam screws that just break in half in the background because they're styrofoam. Have you seen that?
I haven't seen it break in half.
When no. they're the next time you watch it, when they are falling down the dustpan into the trash, watch all that other bullshit that's falling down around them because it is huge and styrofoam and just snapping in half.
I will do that the next time I sit down and watch Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Also, a friend of mine just hit me up, and she's like, hey, I didn't know that Beetlejuice dropped an F-bomb until I watched this with my kids.
Yeah, there is one F-bomb, isn't there? Now, where is it?
I don't know. We should spot it.
Because that might I might just pick that to be my favorite moment. Let me find some context a second.
We're ghosts!
Beetlejuice, fuck... Oh, okay. That's where he says, nice fucking horn. Or nice fucking model. So I think that's kind of when he first gets introduced. Which I'll take. I'll take that. His, okay. When he first gets introduced and they get sucked down into the model for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's just like, you get your first introduction to him as the fucking fast-talking con man that he is.
He is pretty much the bee's knees.
Oh, that's nice. There is some really solid makeup in this movie. A lot of it is super cheesy, but it's simple stuff like the all the stop motion definitely shows its age now, obviously, although that is a conscious choice in order to give it a B-movie feel that Tim Burton was going for. Unfortunately means that, yeah, it does not age very well. What are we now? 88? So coming up on, holy crap, almost 30 years of this movie. But, yeah, some of that shit looks fucking dark still. This guy, I remember Tara was so heartbroken when she heard that he...
Which one? The medium?
Or
the principal from Ferris Bueller?
The principal, yeah.
Yeah, that's sad.
With his whole child photography scandal thing. Because she loved him from, yeah, Ferris Bueller and...
Hey, man, a whole couple generation of people love Bill Cosby and then found out that he was a prolific rapist. So, like, I guess that's not even a don't meet your heroes.
Don't fall asleep around your heroes.
Definitely that. Definitely that. Well, I mean, maybe your heroes, like, growing up, you almost need to approach it the same way as you do, like, Rugrats and Hey Arnold and Clarissa Explains It All and The Secret Adventures of Alex Mack and all that and Roundhouse and all those shows that you really, really enjoyed. And then as an adult you go back and watch like two episodes and you're like, I'm not gonna fuck
I can't
this
stick
up.
With this for 100 episodes. Yeah, you remember watching them all as a kid, like multiple times each of them.
Yeah,
and you try and go back watching, to it now.
I started watching Hey Arnold recently.
Those first season like episodes, it's rough.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. And still my favorite Hey Arnold memory is Stoop Kid's Afraid to Leave the Stoop. But I was not going to make it that far.
No.
Nope, not at all.
It's a lot of
looked fake as shit. Yeah.
There's a Hey Arnold movie coming out, right?
Yes, and they got everybody. Is it Hey Arnold? Or yeah,
there's Hey Arnold and there's Rocko's Modern Life. I know Rocko's Modern Life has the trailer, and that's what I was going to say. Everyone was like, everyone loves Rocko's Modern Life, and now that this trailer came out for the new movie, I watch it and I'm like, eh.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Be careful what you wish for. H- Have we had that scene where she... Is this the second time? Oh, no. Yeah, the first time she jumps into this place, where which is what? Saturn, apparently, or something?
It's where the sandworms are.
Yeah. The first time was when they were first exploring the house, and she stepped away. Yo, she stepped outside, ended up somewhere like that bullshit, and he says to her, like, you've been gone for hours, right?
Yeah.
You okay there?
I'm smoking a new cigar type of leaf.
Interesting.
And I'm not,
not very good at it.
I don't know if I'm a fan.
Okay.
I mean, it still smells amazing.
Hmm. That's certainly your opinion.
Bro.
So, yeah, a big point of contention for people is that whole kind of timeline where she steps outside and shit goes on. Like, yeah, she's been gone for hours or something. That comes back into play later in the movie when she or he goes outside to Saturn and somehow fucking tames the sandworm. But he comes back and no time has passed at all.
Yeah, well, that's because he's not affected by the glass ceiling. That's basically it.
Explain yourself.
Okay. And I'm not even talking about, like, the for every dollar that a man makes, blah, because, like, that, yeah, that totally still applied at this point in time. Mm. But at this point in time with movies, how many women were, how many times were women written as, like, damsels in distress, or just, fuck it, less effective than the dude characters? You know, like, that. That is another super fucking low-key Hollywood misogyny right there.
So you're saying that he is a... So she...
I'm saying that the only reason that he came back and no fucking tamed that shit and no time had passed is because he's a dude, mm-hmm. and this movie was written by dudes.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I'll understand that, the fact that, yeah, Hollywood wants to make it the guy that comes riding in on the fucking sandworm to save the day. But the fact that no time has passed, like, he should have been gone for fucking hours as well. He should have rode back in with the sandworm, found that everybody was dead or been taken to the underworld. Like, that fucking show happened hours ago. He rolls up way too late to save anybody, and he just has to sit there fucking Billy No Maze now.
Well, I mean, look at the most recent season of Game of Thrones. Season one, it took people episodes to get anywhere. And now
it takes them like a 20 minute intermission.
Yeah, now they're fast traveling, and it's fucking insane.
That's a really funny way of putting it.
But it's true, though. Yeah. Like, they are totally fast traveling everywhere. Also, did you see that there's the makers of Skyrim and fucking Fallout and Elder Scrolls are talking about the Game of Thrones game?
I've seen a listing at Target. I haven't heard anything official yet, and because it's Bethesda, you will not hear anything official until they are damn well ready to make it official.
Yeah,
but holy shit, if anybody's going to make a solid Game of Thrones like action game, it's got to be those guys.
Well, like, and Bethesda is a lot like the Rockstar leaks and rumors about, like, Red Dead and shit like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they came out, the leaks came out a long time before the game was even announced, mm-hmm. but they were fucking right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, shit, this, I read a plot synopsis for the latest season of Game of Thrones came out, like, a year ago.
Yeah.
And they mentioned the dragon that showed up later on in the season. They mention Arya doing what the fuck she does in the like, they mentioned she's the one that does it. They, all this shit. And I had forgotten about it. And then, like, as every episode happens this season and I watch people on Facebook, I'm like, oh, no, that all that shit was totally right. A year ago, I thought it was all, like, wrong, but I read it anyway. Nope, everything was correct.
Let's talk about a little about Game of Thrones, since it's going to be a bit of time until Beetlejuice shows up, and that's where the movie gets fun. How do you feel about how this season's gone? A lot of people say it's kind of just like rushing to the end now.
But we talked about this. Yes, it is kind of rushing, but when you play D&D with your buddies, it can last for days. When everybody's going to go to work the next morning, you play a speed round, and that's what this is. Because next season, winter is finally here. And like, because episode one, season one, you get White Walker zombies, and then you get it in for like a minute, and then you get a whole season. And so by the time you even cut back to North of the Wall, you had forgotten that that was even the same show.
You've just been watching like medieval West Wing and that whole time.
Yeah, yeah. But now we've done all that, and if we do finally get people versus the dead people next season and the entirety of next season, there was a lot of shit that needed to happen. I'm okay with that. I'm totally okay with that, man. I am on board with this faster going. With shorter episodes, you have to move faster.
And I'm fine with it as well. I feel like I'm in the minority, though, whenever I go on the internet. Everyone's all pissy about the fact that too much is happening too quickly. But I'm like, we've had such a slow burn up until now that now's the point where we all kind of know where this is going. Mm-hmm. We don't need to...
We no longer have questions. We are just watching it unfold now. Now we're finally all on the same page.
This is
except for George R. R. Martin, who knows what the fuck he's doing.
He's still on the same page that he was on 2-3 years ago.
Now, did he not tell the writers, much like J.K. told Snape at the beginning, like his ending, did he not tell the writers, hey, you have point A, here's point B, you guys are going to be ahead of me, so just make sure you get to point B. However you get there is on you. Like, did he give them general guidelines as long as they end correctly?
And that's the thing. A lot of people have had this argument about these last couple of seasons, particularly once it moved past where the books are. For the first, like, 5 seasons, it was a show that was being based off of some books. The last couple of seasons, and then particularly this one, since it's moved so fast, it feels like it was based off of notes. You know, like it's just the highlights. There's a lot of connective tissue that could have really been explored, but I don't know if it's just because, you know, and this would mean that, you know, a lot of the credit for the earlier stuff would go directly to George R. R. Martin, obviously. But are the showrunners for Game of Thrones just not that good at actually telling the character side of the story, or are they just good at the set pieces, the events?
Because, you know, like the first 5 seasons with his books, and considering how textbook quality they are, that's the equivalent of every season being given a big fucking James Cameron binder of everything that he's come up with for Avatar for the last 20 years.
You have a lot of information to kind of go through and to work off of.
And then he just starts passing off like a composition notebook. Oh, I think this is my moment.
This is your moment.
Where's your tequila?
Do you want silver or gold?
I don't care. I just hate myself, so...
Okay.
That's the only reason I'm drinking tequila. I hope you choose something not as shitty. So I went to IKEA, and I got some shit. Got some pillows, got some new... I had told you that like my room was really hot, so I needed new sheets. And then after I bought new sheets and installed all this shit, I'm like, oh, my AC vent was closed. So, yeah. But when I was at IKEA, I even like bought a duvet cover, but no duvet for the middle just because I was so hot. But now I'm going back for it because I am like the closest to the... Now that it's open, I'm the coldest room in the house.
An idiot.
Yeah, but when I went to IKEA, I also bought those lights, the strand of LED lights, and I put them under my bed. Like, I'm literally, like, mirrored on the ceiling, like, step away from fucking shooting horrible, like, 1970s Hollywood, like, adult films. I'm probably just gonna move them and put them on, like, a bookshelf or some shit. But right now, my bed is underlit, and it's, my bed has like ground effects.
Like, you have a bed out of Fast and the Furious or something?
Yeah. But it's nice when I wake up in the morning because I can navigate to my shit without having to turn on my damn overhead light and scorch your eyes.
I have one of those in our bathroom in the toilet, yeah.
Uh-huh. The one that turns on when you like walk near the bathroom?
Exactly.
All right, well, cheers. Let's hate ourselves.
Cheers.
I want to do a 2-person cosplay. It'd be okay, number one, you never watched Roundhouse, but I want to be the dad from Roundhouse in the dad chair. It's a recliner. It's motorized. And also has like a tiny TV and like a cooler for beer on it. Okay. And like a lamp. But if we built a tiny little love seat, because it'd be way funnier if it was me and another dude.
Like a fucking sidecar.
If we built a tiny little love seat that you could Fred Flintstone under one side, and I could like use my hands and Fred Flintstone in the other, I could be the legs, and you could be the upper body of that bitch that's fucking cut in half from a second ago.
So we're both in drag for this?
I mean, my legs are in drag, your upper body's in drag. Or we can swap, but I just figured you'd want to see shit.
I mean,
I can go in drag, but bro, for real. Fuck it. If we just entered a costume contest as that, you know how funny that shit would be?
It's a very
you
specific.
Know what'd be even better? Fuck using you. Let's put Damien in drag and have him be the top half, and I'll be the legs. So then you can roll out, you can get the legs switching, and then you can get the girl actually walking off the couch with her hands. Bro.
Much better.
Bro. You know he'd fucking do it.
Absolutely.
Hell yeah.
He loves Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
Of course he would.
I'm calling Damien. I'm calling TJ. Is somebody mowing their lawn outside?
That is what it sounds like.
Uh-huh. I was outside smoking and drinking like a rest of a bottle of wine the last time I left here and came home. And because I got home and I'm like, well, I still got like half a bottle of wine. I might as well just drink it. And that was a horrible idea.
Because wine goes bad after you open it, as we all know.
I mean, yeah, but you just don't let that happen. You just drink the whole thing.
Yeah.
So like I'm drinking this whole thing and I'm outside, I'm relaxed, you know, I took a dip in the pool, probably going to do that tonight.
Okay.
Beats taking a shower. You know how horrible that sounds? So, I'm outside, I'm super relaxed, you know, I'm pretty drunk, I'm soaking in the quiet, fact that I don't hear any kids in the neighborhood, no like tweet tweet, no birds, I don't even hear crickets, it's great. And then my next door neighbor decides at that time at like 1 o'clock in the morning is the perfect time to mow his lawn because there's no sun. It's not hot. It's not uncomfortable. I can totally do that. I get it.
Makes sense. He's got a solid argument.
Yeah, but that's supposed to happen at like 8:30, 9 o'clock. That's not supposed to happen at like 1:30. That dude don't give a fuck. I got that dude at work making me a set of dominoes. Okay, there's
more to this story that I apparently was not told.
Okay. So I work with this, I'm sure with as many employees as we have in this plant, I'm sure there's plenty more gay dudes that work there, but there's so many, like, super hetero dudes there that I would understand if you were just kind of skating under the table because you can do your job without anybody knowing anything about your personal life. But Felix, on the other hand, Felix cuts our countertops. And Felix wears a fluorescent shirt every day. He wears a red bandana around his neck like an ascot, sleeveless shirt, basketball shorts, dress shoes, and dress socks hiked up to his knees so that he doesn't get, like, metal shavings and cuts on his lower legs.
Mm-hmm.
But he walks around and gives people candy. Would you like something to make your day a little sweeter, my sweet? And he, like, gives you candy. Nicest dude in the world. So gay. And I love it because he doesn't give a fuck about anybody and passes by super, like, homophobic dudes all day and is nothing but nice because no matter who you are, nobody can bring this man's mood down. He is the happiest guy at this plant. However, last week, our assembly line was not moving all that quick. Mm-hmm. And so he had these three ambulances around him, around his station, that hadn't moved for days. And he finished all the countertops and all of them on day one. So day two and day three, he's got nothing to do. And when you work at a plant like that, if you have any specialized job and you're fucking done with it, and you're going to be there anyway, and they're paying you, so, okay, cool, go to detail and, like, just go clean some shit so that you're, like, actually working. So homie grabs, he grabs all of his offcuts from the previous day making all these countertops, and there's, like, it's faux marble, it's just, like, synthetic, like, faux marble or whatever that's in, like, all these different, like, in, like, four or five different color schemes.
Mm-hmm.
So then he turns around, takes all of his offcuts, and makes domino sets with all of his tools and the router, like really good domino sets out of the offcuts. So now, like, by the end of day two, he's got fucking 5 or 6 full domino sets in boxes that he made off of the same offcuts, and like they all match and shit. And I thought it was the coolest thing in the world. Then I found out that John, one of the other dudes that I work with that calls me Little N-Word, John's had a set for like 6 months. So I'm like, hey, Felix, you just give these shits out? And he's like, yeah, yeah, what do you want? And so like I pointed out my color, and Felix making me domino set.
Fucking sweet.
Yeah, he's the coolest dude in the world, man.
Holy crap.
Like, anytime I'm there, like, I sleep on all my breaks and shit. And anytime I'm there and just, like, not feeling it, I can walk over to, because he cuts so much, like, synthetic shit. It's all, like, covered in the same type of, like, clear vinyl that you would wrap around, like, a mobile paint shop.
Uh-huh.
So that, like, the fucking dust isn't getting out and shit. But that just means that I can stand in there and bullshit with him, and we can talk at full volume, and nobody realizes that we're not, as long as you have a measuring tape in one hand and a notebook in the other, and like a pen.
Anyone walking past looks like, yeah, those guys are hard at work.
It just looks like you're doing shit. But I'm still the mat guy, so that kind of sucks. Every cabinet and like table surface needs some sort of rubber mat, so that when you have like spills, you can take that out, clean that, and just quickly wipe down like the surface underneath. So like an ambulance coming off the assembly line that needs mats so that it can go to like final inspection and go off to the client, it has like 23, 24 mats. And I love Felix to death, but he can't make a single countertop that's square on all sides. So like instead of it being like a long rectangle that's like 57 1/4 inches by like 17 1/2, it's 17 1/2 on one side, it's 17 3/8 on the other, and then the top and the bottom like long lengths that should be identical are also fucking weird. So like at first glance you look at it and you're like, oh, that's a rectangle, but then you actually sit down and measure it and you're like, it's a fucking trapezoid of some sort. So like I made one mat with like multiple trap doors in it, and they're like, oh, you're really good. And that Spanish dude, he said fuck making mats like a week and a half, you're the new mat guy. So like an ambulance will show up and they'll be like at 6:30, hey, you need to make all the mats for this. I'll probably finish around 3. It sucks so hard doing fucking geometry. Bro, I actually have to do like geometry and like basic trig to figure out, like,
you swore when you left high school you were never gonna use that shit.
Yeah, bro, the only times I've ever used geometry was when I was building illusions, and I was willing to just sweep that under the rug because I was gonna make money off of it. However, if you've ever seen my 13-foot-tall gallows at the trap door, you would not want to stand on. The only reason I stand on is because I know that even if it falls apart, I'm not gonna like stab myself. Mm-hmm. But it's so goddamn rickety. But yeah, yo, I've got these fucking mats that I'm doing, and it sucks so much. So I just go over to Felix, and he makes me feel better about myself. And then I go back, and I'm ready to pull my hair out because of Felix.
See, the key is, like, if you don't want to do, like, take the lesson that I have for fucking laundry, dishes, general housework, mm-hmm. making the bed, anything. Just do it really fucking badly one time, and nobody will ask you to do it again.
Yeah, but if I do that, like they'll be like, oh, if he sucks at mats, he probably sucks at everything. Cut my schedule, and I don't want that.
Okay. That's a fair argument.
Yeah, I mean, I did flooring, but that's really easy. That's like a couple pieces, and the rectangle's like feet by like more feet. It's like the entirety of the back of an ambulance. It's really easy to do like an outline,
just 2 different measurements.
Yeah,
like, that's, but it, not 4 like a fucking trapezoid.
Yeah, instead I show up with like a yellow legal pad, and by the end of, and like a measuring tape, which I need to dig mine out because I always have to borrow them and it sucks, but like I show up with a measuring tape, and now I've filled 2 pages a fucking legal pad with measurements, and now I gotta go back and I gotta cut everything, but I cut everything all at once, and then I'm like carrying this heavy ass stack back to the ambulance, but now everything's gonna be off a little bit because you have to cut it with the surface upside down. So there's weird trapezoids. If you cut it with the surface upside down and then turn it right side up, that mirror image is not necessarily correct. So, like, you got to put them all out, and you're like, oh, that doesn't work, but it's I need to cut it shorter. Fuck measurements. It's a sliver. Yeah, I'll go by slivers. Okay, this is two slivers. This is, like, one sliver. This is, like, 3.5. And then you go and, like, cut that shit without measuring a goddamn thing, and then you go back, and, like, it's really hit or miss. But
that's a really smart way of making yourself, like, totally indispensable. If you're just making up your own units of measurement, nobody else can take your job. Like,
yeah, bro, but slivers. The people I work with that see me go, like, I talk about getting my slivers like it's like I'm a prospector. And fucking they hear me talk about, like, it's a sliver. And they're like, oh, shit. This could be awesome, or we could be here for another, like, 4 hours. Yeah, so I got Nair on my dick on Sunday.
And this was something you mentioned earlier. Before we start recording, by asking to start, like, hold the story and play it for the podcast. Mm-hmm. But you gotta fucking lead into it somehow.
Okay, so this Sunday...
You're just like fucking Christopher Nolan, just like, let's hear the end of the story, and then let's fucking memento backwards and see how we got to this point.
Okay, so last week I talked about going to go do this art thing where we had to, like, if you're familiar with, like, people standing naked in front of a bunch of painters, like, still for an hour and a half, the painters paint them. However, this, we got to move, we got to heckle the paint with the artist. It reverted in the story time with Carl, but I was in makeup, and my friend Vita DeVoid, who's awesome and does amazing makeup work, she's like the fucking Cagney of, like, lady burlesque performers with, like, 1,000 faces. She was there, and we just got did up and hung out, and got pretty drunk. Drank a bottle of wine with her. It was great.
A whole bottle of wine.
Yeah. I mean, we still had to work. I would have brought two, one for her and one for me, but we still had to, like, get shit accomplished. So, like, when we're hanging out, eventually, like, I played the murder trumpet. Vaughn told me, the artist in charge, he's like, don't put your mouth on it. And then I, like, licked it. I played with speculums, one size fits all. But they were are you familiar with the speculum?
Not at all.
Okay. It's a gynecologist thing. You stick it in and then you squeeze it and it opens up, like, wide. And yeah, like, it's a gynecologist tool.
What opens up wide?
It's like
the vagina?
Yes. Think like, okay, a speculum looks like if you were to take two shoehorns and you, like, were to mount them together.
Is it like a fucking car jack for your vagina?
Kinda, yeah. And so I got to play with a bunch of speculums. I got to play with a cow speculum that was just handed to me, and then I looked at it and I'm like, this is like a foot and a half long. This can't be for a human. Even a big human. So yeah, we're playing with all this shit, got a bunch of great pictures, but it diverted in the story time with Carl. So, like, I explained to them about working the floor show in Vegas and the elephant with diarrhea, and that was funny.
Have we heard that story yet?
I think so. Yeah.
Remind me next week if we haven't.
I'll forget. Okay, long story short, two dancers doing a pas de deux in a floor show in Vegas. They ride out an elephant. Elephant's sick that night and has diarrhea, so as they ride out, the elephant's just psh, like
just leaving a little snail trail behind.
Yeah, you
itself.
Hear it, you know. So they get off, and there's a dramatic moment where the dude spins the girl around, like, around his body, and then slides her on her knees, and she slides like 15 feet and does this, like, dramatic, like, hammer fisting the floor. It's a modern number, what do you expect?
Sure.
So he does it because they're consummate professionals, but when she hits the shit or the stream of diarrhea, she didn't stop at her mark. She has kept sliding off the side of the stage, and it was the funniest shit in the world. Okay, so I explained that story, and then my Nair. I ended up not having to whip my dick out, but when I'm in whiteface, I always am prepared to get naked, so, like, I'm fully manscaped, like, fucking mole rat, like, manscaped, like, no hair on my chest, nothing like that, like, but I don't shave. I shave, like, around my nipple and, like, your nether regions, you know, but because you don't want to put Nair there because Nair is basically an acid. You put it on for you put this lotion on for 5 minutes and you take a rag and you wipe the lotion off and all your hair just disappears.
It's the greatest magic trick in the world.
Yeah, yeah, but you don't want to put it on like your nether regions. You don't want to leave it on too long. It accidentally touched my nipple years ago, and I left it on for like 8 minutes and didn't realize it was on my nipple. Mm-hmm. And when I went to wipe away, like the top layer of skin on my nipple wiped away as well.
Oh.
And it was painful as fuck. So like I treat that shit with the respect it deserves. So I've got an air in my chest, and I've also dyed my hair earlier. I dyed my hair black, and then it was supposed to stay on for 25 minutes, and Nair does the 5. So at the 20-minute mark, I started putting the Nair on, so then I could just jump in the shower, wipe off, rinse my hair, and call it a day. Because I had to go be in whiteface that day. I even shaved off my beard. So I'm listening to Rude Boy Rock, and I'm dancing around, and at one point, I look in the mirror and I realize at some point during my dancing, my dick had done like a half helicopter and hit my stomach.
Just grazed your stomach.
Yeah, and so now my whole dick from like base to head on the top of the shaft is covered in like a line of Nair. And luckily, it wasn't there for long. But at the time, I didn't know how long it had been there. So it was like that moment in Home Alone where Kevin McAllister like slaps his face and screams in the mirror. Only instead of slapping my face, I was like,
"You were worried you were gonna like wipe your dick down and the dick
was
just gonna come off."
I was pawing at my dick
something.
Like I was a cat and it was a ball of yarn. a frightening Nair on your penis scenario. We've all been there. Am I right? Am I right?
You're right.
So the cork board's humongous, but the foam is standard carpet foam, and all the cardboard...
There's some really fine cardboard,
yeah.
Yeah,
the cardboard of the really tiny fragile. Does the fragile make out, like, pinstripes on it, much like fuck you on Conor McGregor's suit?
Now, here's the thing. Is his name Beetlegeist or Beetlejuice?
Juice, just because it's fucking phonetically spelled for all you savages.
Yeah. Because this is how you actually spell his name, but the movie is called Beetlejuice, how it sounds, because I guess that's more interesting. That's a funnier name for marketing or something.
Well, okay, I don't even think it's funnier for marketing. I just think it's easier to pronounce.
I guess.
Like you know that thing you do? The Oneaters! Like, yeah.
This is like his makeup is a really poor man's version of Heath Ledger's Joker.
Yeah. How far into the movie are we?
Not far enough. We're at 48 minutes roughly, or 47 minutes.
Okay.
And we finally have our main characters meeting.
Yeah.
And this is a 90 minute movie. Now, that's a bold decision. Oh, yeah, this is my favorite moment, isn't it? Okay, so in honor of Beetlejuice's classic black and white suit, I'm going to give you the choice between black or white Sambuca.
We'll go for black.
All right. You know what they say, though?
Once you go black, you
black out.
Oh, yeah, there we go. I'm glad you stopped me there. It's okay to say that shit at work, but I'm not about to say anything... Super. I mean, yeah, granted, didn't episode 1 I talked about getting raped in the Navy? Like, I'm at this point, I don't even know why I don't know why you censor myself.
Yeah, you, if you have a line, then you left it behind about 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And the Sambuca is where everything started to go wrong for me on Monday as well. Like, it seemed like such a great idea at the time to start off the evening, start off the podcast with some Sambuca. It very quickly went very badly.
Mm-hmm.
Also going very badly was a lot of the liquor that I decided to pour for people. I decided to take like one of everything and pour like...
Here or at a bar?
Here.
Okay. But at least there's that.
I have a bunch of...
imagine if you were just drunk buying that shit for everybody.
God.
Oh. It'd be like me when I'm flying solo.
Yeah, like $300 later. It's like... I hope I had a good night.
See, but $300 and buying other people drinks, that's almost a kind of acceptable if it's a good occasion.
Yeah.
When it's me, it's just straight up alcoholic. Oh my god.
Did you have that spinning toy?
Yes. Did you have it too?
I'm sure I did. Yeah.
My dad still has it. Has my old one. Cheers. Oh,
cheers, cheers. Oh my god. Hang on, I want to listen to the fuck, and then I'll tell the story about Beetlejuice toys.
More professional than the dude that put in that fucking tree.
It's weird how it looks so much shittier from zoomed out now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. But you guys, you had the coolest fucking toys over here in like the 90s and shit. Like,
bro.
My dad used to fly over to the US for a lot of business when I was very young. And he always used to go to New York, which has a huge fucking Toys R Us. So he used to go to Toys R Us and buy me the coolest toys that for some reason or another we never got in the UK. Don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was always the coolest thing when he came home with a suitcase, and I got all these fucking awesome figures like Ghostbusters and fucking Beetlejuice figures. I remember one time he showed me, he bought this figure, the Alec Baldwin figure that had the stretched out face head that he does later, mm-hmm. and it kind of slides down his shoulder, you know? Like, you know, it's just like a little nub, and then it would slide down his shoulder all the way down the length of his arm and shit. And I remember I was like, super excited, like opened it up, like put it on and everything. Before I knew it, like 30 seconds had gone by and I snapped it off.
Aww.
And I was devastated because that thing had made it come all the way from America.
Yeah.
And now it was broken and I was like, I was bummed. Like, you could eventually fix it and shit, but it was never quite the same. It was never that smooth, like,
yeah,
roll down his arm and shit.
So my dad used to get me like one main character toy of like awesome. I had the old, it was a solid piece of plastic. The only thing that moved, both straight arms had like, had a hinge at like the shoulders and that's it. And it was Michael Keaton as Batman from the original Batman. It came with like a fabric cape and I still have that. Had the Rocketeer, same thing, but all like foam. The only thing that moved was his waist kind of turned from side to side and his right. head turned and that was it. Mm-hmm. But then it had two pull string dolls. I had Freddy Krueger, Robert Englund, Freddy Krueger.
Interesting.
That was brand new when it came out.
Pull string like it talks and shit?
Yeah, like the Woody from Toy Story, right? Uh-huh. But his hand was plastic, head is plastic, everything else was like stuffed cotton with like an outfit on top, little plastic shoes and shit. But he said like Freddy Krueger bullshit, but I had the Beetlejuice. And the Beetlejuice, you could wind his head up by spinning it one direction and add a pull string on it so Beetlejuice would say shit. And then if you squeezed him, it would like unlock it, and the head would like unspool, and it would spin, and Beetlejuice would say like, "Oh, I almost lost my head," or some bullshit. It was Michael Keaton, and so I found both of these in my parents' house when I was living there with them, and both of them are so old. If I replaced batteries, I'm sure they'd be worth at least the fucking Freddy Krueger would be worth something. Beetlejuice, he's in his striped suit. With, like, a little shirt and shit, but it's, like, no longer white. It's all, like, weathered because I grew up with it and carried it everywhere.
Of course.
But, like, you play them now, and these old batteries that are in them still has, like, a tiny bit of power.
Uh-huh.
And, like, Beetlejuice, it's annoying when he's talking really but Robert Englund, Freddy Krueger talking really slow. Bro, it made me just as frightened as I was when I was a kid watching the movie. Because we watched it, and it was fucking laughable.
Mm-hmm. But you slow that shit down, like, 50%.
Bro, I've got the Jurassic Park theme slowed down by, like, 150%, and it's, like, an hour long, and it's the most beautiful shit to fall asleep to.
I think I've heard that,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't, like, just sit noise. Down
it
and, like...
It just sounds like a broadcast from deep space, doesn't it?
Yeah. Now, one of these shrimp gloves is at the Planet Hollywood.
Here in Orlando?
Here in town, yeah.
That's cool. How funny is it, by the way, that neither of us picked that as our favorite moment, and that's the scene that everybody fucking remembers from this movie?
I always loved the final scene with Shake, 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 Senora, that song.
All the footballers appearing on the fucking staircase and shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I love that these people downstairs are basically being like, this is awesome. Because if I lived in a haunted house and that shit happened, and I had, like, all my friends over, and all my friends are fucking magicians and people of questionable morals, bro, I would immediately turn that shit into a business. Like, immediately. Oh, we're doing psychic readings right fucking now.
You'd fucking Michael J. Fox in The Frighteners, that
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, I'm not going to John Edwards. I'm not going to talk to your loved ones, but I will let you pay to sit in on a seance.
Uh-huh.
I got a buddy of mine that was on Phenomenon, the Chris Angel and Uri Geller show. Almost came to blows with Chris Angel, but he bills himself as a paranormalist, does some, I'll show you some shit on YouTube that you fucking blow your mind. But he, you know, like, when you go to, like, psychic readings, they'll use, like, a pendulum, and the pendulum will start, like, swaying or, like, go in one direction and then stop and go the other direction, and that's sure. how you communicate. He does that with, like, chandeliers in people's house. He'll walk into, like, a dining room and put his hand on the wall, and he'll just go into a trance, and then your chandelier just starts, yeah, craziest shit in the world. And he commits to the character 24 hours a day. But rather than talk to your loved ones, he does mind-reading shit, but with a dead person that he has the full backstory okayed by the family, a real dead person with a real tombstone that is the person on the other side that's helping him get all this info. And it's changed over the years. And I was a kid, I thought I was fascinated by the fact that, like, this magician was using that as his reasoning, and the dude actually existed. Like, you could go in the city that the show was in, you could go to, like, a local graveyard and find that dude died in the 70s. But he has something called the International Seance Project, where basically he does, like, a fucking James Randi, I'll pay you X amount of money for this, upon passing to the afterlife. And basically he accumulates people and homies that are willing to basically fill out a questionnaire of all this shit about your personality and about you, and, like, let him interview you and shit and sign releases so that when you die, you can be another real dead person on that list. And you have enough, and he has enough info and pictures to really make it, like, sellable and, like, count. And it's fucking, it's amazing, man. It's so, he just changed to a new dude that died, like, really recently, which is the only reason, like, I'm mentioning it, because I saw it, and at first I was like, ooh, and then, like, I read more about it, and, like, I looked at his previous post and that dude's previous post, and I'm like, oh, shit, that's awesome. He was totally, he knew that some shit was going down in his life.
All right.
And is also a magician and knows a good bit when he sees it.
Okay.
That's a great idea, man. I feel like every magician would make the Houdini Pact if they could. Check it.
The Houdini Pact.
Yeah, yeah. Houdini told Bess on his deathbed that because he spent so much time debunking mediums, he told his wife on his deathbed, here's a password. If it is possible to come back, I will. And here's how you'll know it's me and not some psychic bullshitting you like all the dudes that we...
That's really fucking smart.
Yeah.
With as many... Because he was really into disproving all that shit. So yeah. That's like the perfect fucking thing.
It's a great... So, like, magicians, it's a very common conversation among magicians that if you have, like, a business partner, it's, bro, if it's possible to come back, I'll totally come back and hook it the fuck up with the most amazing show in the world for you. But sadly, hasn't happened yet. I mean, but how would we know, really? Because you wouldn't want to tell people, oh yeah, there's really a dead person helping me out. Like, you would just take credit for that. Like my little buddy Benny from The Mummy in the beginning of Lord of Illusions, when he fakes his death, he's doing an illusion show, but he's using actual magical powers to do it. It's kind of interesting. So I want knuckle tattoos.
Here we go.
And I've been looking at different options. I'm probably going
when
to
you, go, do you go like fucking how do you look at different options? Is it like a jewelry store?
Knuckle tattoos, when you look at it, you've only got four on each hand. See, if you're going to do words, you need 2 4-letter words. Or if you're going to do symbols, which is probably the direction I'm going at this point, you're just looking for shit that means shit to you. However, when I was going through words, I clearly, everybody gets like love and hate on there. And I think on one hand, that's really dumb. But on the other hand, if you get it as a self-aware tattoo, which the reason you don't is because anybody else looking at it's like, oh, no, he's just a tool. so you don't get self-aware tattoos. But if you did, that'd be really funny. And then I was looking at like words, and I thought Lost Boys was really cool. But then I'm like, oh no, that's too hipster. And then I'm like, if I want to go really hipster, why don't I do Toys Tory on here? So,
well,
that'd be really funny. That would be something that's so self-aware that it's obvious that it's self-aware. and I wear
it's
like
very snake using its own tail.
yeah. And I wear like double rings on my fingers, so that's more than enough to cover like full letters. But then I like started looking at shit, and I'm like, oh, okay, no, I can totally just do like symbols and other shit. I've got like a things that I've kept tallies of since I was in the military. So I would totally get like dots around that, like it was a ring, uh-huh. You know, and that could be covered with a single one, but still maintain my tally.
Sure.
Yeah, like I've got like runes that like I totally like dig and I'm interested in that I look at almost like, you know, like when you get a fortune cookie that makes you feel really good and then you just keep that fortune. Have you ever done that? No?
I don't buy into that shit so much.
Well, I don't either. I look at like fortune cookies, the little message on them, if they make you feel good, it's more like a like get motivated quote than a this applies to you, because all those are written like horoscopes, and if you take away...
Sorry, I had this figure as well, where all the spikes popped out of him and shit.
I'm never okay with that. I always hated that. That whole, like... I also, whenever you get, like, the little stickers, the spheres that have a little, like, the burrs on them stuck to your socks when you go, like, hiking, I hate those.
Yeah.
I hate taking them off my shoelaces. Yeah,
but they are fun to just throw on your friend's back when they're not looking.
Oh, yeah, but so is a bag of shit.
Well, go big or go home, I guess.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. I have made someone go by the nickname Dookie Mouth, so...
You mentioned this in the last episode.
Yeah, and it's sticking. And yeah, it is sticking.
Dookie Mouth is sticking.
Dookie Mouth... Mama Dukes and Hey Duke, all three of those are sticking.
You're gonna have somebody commit suicide in your place very soon, I think.
She is on suicide watch. Anytime I'm working, I'm running suicide watch, but I'm paying attention.
I'm sure she feels great about you, the instigator, running suicide watch.
She doesn't
watch.
Know I'm on suicide watch. I'm just out of the corner of my eye, I'm always looking for that.
It's waiting for her to pick up a tool that she's not supposed to be handling.
Yeah, the look of trudging without like going anywhere. That the whole the slow and like the stare off into the distance when I know you're like an inch away from ending it, girl. I've been there. I get you. So like I'm just looking out of the corner of my eye. I totally get it. I understand. But my job sucks just as much as yours. We got this shit.
If my nickname was Dookie Mouth, I'd probably fucking end it as well.
Yeah, well, now my nickname is fucking Bootylicious, so... My bro...
And there's way more of a story there than I think you're letting on. Like,
I tried to tell
you
my homie there that
I... Bootylicious just by...
Yeah. I go on break with one guy every day. I go on my lunch break. Like, with the rest of my breaks, I go and sleep outside. My lunch break, I go on break with one dude every day. And it's always, like, a good time. You know, I come back and I'm good till, like, 2, 3 in the afternoon. That's awesome. But I tried explaining to him, and the dude's name is... I'm not going to say his last name, but... you're just going to have to take that shit out. But his name, whenever I'm looking for him, I pronounce it like a wrestler because he's this black dude with like these braids that like go down to his ass. but if I'm looking for him, his name is Chico.
Okay.
But you call him by his first and last name, and I'm like, Chico! And fucking he knows, you know, and just shows
well,
up.
Well, when you say his full name, I think he would know.
You're going to have to take care of that, yeah. But fucking hanging out with Chico, and Chico calls me Bootylicious all the time. Well, I try and tell the guy that like I hang out with, I'm like, yeah, man, I'm like, Chico calls me Bootylicious, and he understands, like, he works with me and that girl, and he knows that or Dookie Mouth for what I was working on with her, and so he understands the lost in translation there, where now I'm being called Bootylicious because Chico thought it was talking about me choosing my own nickname, like some kind of asshole.
What a luxury.
Yeah, what kind of cunt chooses their own nickname? The other people give you that. But now he calls me Bootylicious, and I'm explaining to the dude that I hang out with on break, and he's like, well, I mean, shit, man. You fucking know. Chico's kind of gay.
And that's why he's gravitated. Yeah, like, he's latched onto Bootylicious.
Girl. Yeah, like, Chico's fucking married with a really hot wife and just came back from, like, a sex trip to Puerto Rico with her. But, like, his immediate response is, well, Not Chico missed something. Like, you didn't explain something well enough. No. His response is, well, I mean, Chico's kind of gay. That fucking floored me. Oh, my God. It's way funnier when the response is totally off base and wrong than what the actual answer is. Like, I do shit at work, and people will look at me and be like, well, I was actually supposed to be there with you, but they asked me to do something else. And I'm like, well, if you weren't such a fucking cunt, maybe you'd be hanging out in the front with me. It took a few weeks for them to be like, he's joking, okay? Now, when I was on tour... last tour, I was doing a show in Savannah, Georgia, and some enterprising makeup artist had made both of these heads.
Of course.
And they were, our green room was the basement, the haunted basement. I'm using air quotes for the listener that can't see anything.
Yeah, great job on the podcast.
but apparently it was haunted. I mean, weird shit happened, but it was also full of people, so I got... no idea whether or not that was the drunk fucks or what they were saying was true. However, hang on, where was I? I was getting some... oh, yeah,
masks.
Yeah. So I'm in this basement getting ready, and sitting there are two of these masks.
Nice.
The girl and the dude, and we got so many dope fucking pictures in whiteface with these fucking masks. It was dope as shit. Where you could, like... the mouth is open and you see the eyes, but then past the eyes you see my fucking snarling mug that's actually smiling, the interesting emotions it's painted on. When I went to do this art night on Sunday morning, they're like, oh, you're doing it in whiteface? I'm like, fucking yeah, I'm doing it in whiteface. What the fuck did you expect from me? You saw me posting about shaving. Like, I'm not... Without whiteface, the beard is choice because my cheekbones are great. My chin, not so much. Not so much. I'm using it to hide a weak chin. My cheekbones, though. Look at that shit. Look at that shit.
I don't know what a weak chin looks like. What does that mean?
It's just not... my cheekbones, it is not as pronounced as, like, up top. I've got my cheekbones are great and my jawline... fucking fantastic with some foundation, but my chin, on the other hand, is super, like, round. It's not... you don't want a Jay Leno chin because that's fucking horrible.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, are you wanting, like, the Bruce
Campbell?
You want,
like, halfway between Jimmy Fallon and Bruce Campbell. You want, like, that halfway point. And I got nothing, but with a beard, bro, with a beard, it looked fucking great because I was going to the Hood Rat Barbershop and getting all, like, trimmed up, and it was looking nice. It was looking fresh, man. So fucking fresh.
Wasn't there a point where you had a mustache, like an actual mustache, while you were doing, like, your whiteface shows and shit?
Yeah, with a handlebar. Like, I had, like, a special blend of shit that I put in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why can't you work a little beard into that, then? into your new
Because I paint on a soul patch, and if you put any kind of makeup over a beard, it looks like shit. And if I, because I wear like so much black, with a, I would have to dye my beard black to match my hair, not my eyebrows though, because I cover that in makeup. So just imagine brown eyebrows, black beard, black hair, and then you're going to get roots that are light brown within the next like 3 weeks. No way. No way, man. Like, I have a hard enough time with the nail polish. I showed up Monday to work, and there, and the Venezuelan guy that like I taught, punk-ass bitch to... No. Yeah, punk-ass bitch, trick-ass hoe, and then today, or yesterday, I taught him taint. And I was like, if you pour like a little bit of something that's not water into the water supply, that water supply is now tainted. Also, it stands a little...
like fucking Webster's Dictionary. One, bracket.
Yeah. Like, also...
the most sensible use of this word. It's two, a little bonus use.
Yeah. Because then he had to turn around and go to his English class that he leaves early for every Tuesday. And his teacher's like, what did you learn, like, oh, away Jesus from class this week? And he's like, trick
ass hoe. Oh, he said fuck
hoe.
You again.
Yeah, he... No, second time?
Yeah, we just got fuck you as he fell over the banisters. He's furious that... Wow.
There's two,
and are we the first ones to notice that? Is this a revelation right now? Are we breaking news on this?
Maybe, yeah.
It's such a shame no one will ever know.
I'm going to post about it on Facebook.
And that guy's mask, as he just starts talking there, is goddamn ridiculous. Alec Baldwin has a fantastic makeup face until he starts talking right there, and then it looks terrible.
Yeah.
It looks like, actually, it fucking looks like the guy from Rocko's Modern Life. Who's like the turtle? Or something with the glasses?
Oh, yeah. I don't remember his name. I just remember Rocko.
Massive
and
overbite and shit.
Mm-hmm.
It just looked like that.
Oh no, you're fucking up Beetlejuice's house.
Yeah, now is Beetlejuice like fucking... Is there an earthquake going on?
Yeah, yeah, is, you know? is he like 1960s Star Trek in it?
Everybody was surfing. wow, we're at like 20 minutes, less than 20 minutes left of this movie.
Oh, cool. Okay, Marceau.
I feel like nothing has happened, really. You know, like there's a lot of this movie that's a lot of dead time.
Yeah, I also did.
Why do we like this movie so much?
Because it's Beetlejuice and it's Michael Keaton.
The very few times he's on the screen, he just saves this whole movie, and everyone. I think we just kind of forget. Like, if you condense it down to the parts that everyone actually likes. Would watch, you're at, you could air it on TV. It's a 22-minute episode.
Oh, easily, yeah.
Which is probably fucking why they had a Beetlejuice cartoon.
Somebody had to have already done that on YouTube. Yeah.
Condense Beetlejuice down into a movie that you actually remember.
That's actually about Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
Love that hair on her forehead. Speaking of products to make that happen, the hair product that you have, like, the massive coupes for and have, like, 6 tubes. What is that called?
Yes. It's a spiking gel of some kind.
Yeah, I've used it before.
Got to be glue.
Okay. Everyone calls it got to be, but you're from Europe.
Mm-hmm.
You've been to Germany before?
Once.
Okay.
Twice, maybe.
The two little dots over the O would turn that into gut to be, right?
Are there two little dots above it?
Yeah, there's two little dots above the O's on God to be. Like, not even a joke. That would make it good to be, right?
Carl, if that's a joke, like...
I really weak sauce.
Yeah, like, fucking...
No shit.
Bring your A game to this
fuck
thing, please.
Fuck you, dog.
Got to be glued. Let me see. Because I don't... Oh, it is, yeah. Holy shit.
That would be goot, right?
Goot to be. And that makes no sense.
Absolutely not. So fuck these stupid-ass American marketing teams that are like, oh, It's going to look super European, super hipster.
Everyone loves umlauts.
They're going to dig that shit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nobody likes paying $14 for a fucking half a gram of J. Crew. For real, bro. If I could buy J. Crew in larger containers than that large fucking $25 one that's only available, like, not on the regular shelf at Walmart. You have to go to, like, the fucking salon place. It shit sucks. That shit sucks, man. Or go to, like, a real hair place. Like, that's the only place you can get, like, a good supply of that shit. And even then, it's expensive as fuck. I don't want to pay $25 for that bullshit.
Are there no pants on this table here for Alec Baldwin? They got the whole dress laid out, and I saw the tuxedo there. Like, the top, the jacket.
Mm-hmm.
But what, they're just going to resurrect him with no pants?
That's look at not that big cool. ghosty dick.
Yeah.
It's Alec, right?
It's Alec, yeah.
Alec only take out just enough to win.
Now, where he's a medium, right, this guy?
Apparently, yeah. I mean, they're really rising, so...
But where did he fucking learn to do this? Like, it's implied.
He got the book.
Yeah, but, okay, so that's my question.
He's already a psychic, but then he got the book and was like, oh, shit, now I can rock that.
This handbook is the handbook for the recently deceased.
Mm-hmm.
Why would a handbook for the recently deceased...
even be visible in our universe?
No. Why would a handbook for the recently deceased have a fucking spell in it that would resurrect... Like, why would you need that as a dead person?
You would think Beetlejuice would dig that shit. Think about it. Think about the havoc he could wreak. Right? Right? I mean, it's much like everything in that book in The Mummy with Brendan Fraser. All of that shit, if that shit just did not exist in that recipe book, that whole movie would not have been an issue.
That's true. If that actually was just a recipe book,
what it is. It's a recipe book of like magic. And
yeah, but if it was an actual recipe book about how to make like ancient Egyptian soup or something,
mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
let down that movie would have been.
Oh yo, yeah, yeah. Squish that hand. What'd they do? Just let plaster dry on her hand there?
I guess so.
In like a position.
Better fucking work it out, Otto.
Yeah. I like the little journal cover that is that. The
handbook for the recently deceased, mm-hmm. And you just open it up and it's just like blank pages and shit.
Yeah, have you seen The Neverending Story?
Yeah.
My sister has an iPad cover that is the book from The Neverending Story, complete with the medallion and everything. And the medallion comes off so you can wear it like a necklace. I don't know what type of tool would wear that big-ass medallion as a necklace, but it looks dope on the iPad.
Like a really geeky Flavor Flav.
Yeah, yeah, I don't need that shit. I'll just wear a goddamn clock like Flavor Flav.
No medallion's gonna tell me what time it is.
Yeah, man. Ain't no man gonna tell me what to fucking do.
So weird seeing her so young. And then she had that whole fucking kleptomania phase, remember?
Hey, man, I'm not even going to lie. I got in trouble for fucking shoplifting once when I was younger. Totally. Like, that's... Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, even recently, I was at Walmart, right? And I don't buy, like, really nice glasses anymore because I break them or lose them.
But you steal them?
Well, no. I was at Walmart and I saw these, like, super cheap aviators. And I'm like, oh, hell yeah. I lose aviators, like, every third day of the week. So I bought them. Or I grabbed them to buy them. And I was carrying all this other shit, and I'm hanging out with my buddy, and we walk out of the car so I can get my wallet, and I sit all this shit down on a shelf. We had parked out by the auto, like, automotive section. So I sit all this shit, because that line's always short as fuck. So I sit this shit on a shelf, and I'm like, cool, we'll go out in the car, we'll come back, I'll grab this shit, and then we'll buy it. And so I sit it all down, and I walk outside, and I get my wallet, and I come back inside, and as I'm picking that stuff up, I realize those aviators are sitting on top of my head. And they were sitting on top of my head the entire time. I went outside to the parking lot, grabbed my wallet, came back inside to buy some shit, and realized I literally just walked out with these glasses. Unintentional. I remember when I was a kid, though, I went to a department store and stole some shit with a buddy of mine who was also a magician and really good at stealing shit. And we would, like, show up and separate for, like, an hour and then meet back up outside. And we met back up outside. We get in the car and we leave, get a couple miles away before you pull over and actually, like, examine your spoils. And so we're taking all this shit out. And it was like a straight up magic trick. Like, I got out like this pair of socks that I really liked, you know. Mm-hmm. He had a different pair of socks. I took out my tie, and he's like, "No fucking way." And he reaches in and takes out the tie that he stole, and it's the same exact fucking tie. So then I reach into my belt line and I pull out this dress shirt that I pulled out, and he's like, "No fucking way," and stole the exact same dress shirt in his size.
That's so adorable. Did you guys make out afterwards?
No, we did give each other handies, but we didn't. Handies bring people together more. Yeah.
Speaking of stealing stuff, like, I feel like I made out with, like, a fucking bandit a couple weeks ago.
Oh, with, yeah, with your, what was it, $12 order?
My $12 order from Toys R Us, basically. I don't mean to talk about something completely fucking different than the end of this movie that's playing, but there was a great fucking mess up on the Toys R Us website a couple weeks ago. I have an alert that's set up for anything to do with Skylanders, those Toys to Life video game things. Anytime that they get reduced in price or something and it's a hot deal, I get told about it. And there was a deal with Toys R Us because those games are fucking dying. All that Disney Infinity shit, Lego Dimensions, it's all dead at this point. So they are just fire sailing the shit out of it. So they had this sale on Toys R Us, buy one, get four free. It turns out the 4-3 part did not apply just to Skylanders. It applied to absolutely anything on their website. So I just started loading my card up with video games and all kinds of shit.
Hell yeah.
And I was quick enough. I did some for home delivery and I did some for in-store pickup, and I was there at like 10 a.m. the next morning waiting for the store to open to go and pick it up before anybody at the store checked their email to see all the emails from head office saying like, "Hey, don't fucking do this because we're losing crazy amounts of money." I got away with a good amount of video games from that. For what worked out to be, after three orders, worked out to be about $30.
That's great.
I've got a whole bunch of fucking video games to go through.
How much of a if you look at full prices, how much of a profit did you make?
About $430.
Holy fuck.
If I was paying retail for these games, which I probably wouldn't have, honestly, I got about $430 of video games for about $30 out the door.
Fuck, bro.
That's not even, and I did not even make out the best. There were people online who ordered fucking Xbox One consoles, those big fucking like $300 cars that you can buy for your kids and shit, you know? Yeah. Fucking the Lego Death Stars, anything you can imagine was fucking going. You just added four of anything to your cart after adding a particular Skylander figure, and it was getting reduced to zero.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, it was a clusterfuck of a deal. But worked out great. Worked out great for me. I feel a little bad. But
but only a tiny bit.
Only a tiny. I mean, the video game certainly helped me feel better. So
yeah. I really dig his suit.
What, Beetlejuice's wedding suit right now?
Yeah, his polyester leisure suit and shit.
It's very kind of Interview with a Vampire, isn't it?
Yeah. I have wanted to get that, but in my color red, for me and my business partner.
Okay.
Just so we have, like, an alternate. I really dig costume changes, and I really dig quick changes. And it's really hard to find quick changes that are made for guy costumes and not girl costumes. And I have a couple really good builds and just want to... I really want us to wear polyester leisure suits and be able to switch back to regular clown makeup.
I'm hugely confused now because she's popped over into this fucking Saturn land.
Uh-huh.
And I swear to God it was Alec Baldwin that rides in there with the sandworm. But no, it's her, isn't it?
I think so.
It's absolutely her, because he's here doing his shit with the car.
Well, there you go. That's what I get for listening to you and talking from that.
And here it is. God, I do not remember much about this movie at all. Again, you could edit this movie down to a 20-minute episode of what people actually fucking remember.
Yeah, totally.
And it would still hold up, I feel.
Uh-huh. It'd still be just as entertaining.
And this is Winona Ryder looking like she's coming out of the Crucible?
Oh, yeah. She's doing fine. She's doing fine. She wasn't depressed. She was just emo.
She was crying for help.
Yeah, goth kids are happy, too. You just gotta let them be goth kids. Stop giving them shit all the time.
So they can't leave the house still, and they are still dead,
mm-hmm.
But this is a happy ending.
I mean, kinda, I guess. I still don't understand why they're stuck at the house.
No. Especially when they died off property, like you're saying.
Yeah, I don't get it. Like I say, you fucking watched it too, bruh. You don't fucking put that shit on me. You were there.
See, kids these days would ask for a fucking car or something.
Yeah.
And instead, she wants a musical number?
Of course she does. I mean, wouldn't you want a musical number?
No, I'm very materialistic, honestly. Did you not hear my story about getting like $430 of video games from Toys R Us?
I mean, yeah. Who sculpted that? My question is, was it her?
She suddenly got a lot better, if so.
Yeah. Because
the stuff we saw for the first 90 minutes of the movie, made it looked like shit.
Yeah.
And suddenly she's like an impressionist. I mean, fucking, I don't get that. Like, kids can dance in their room as much as they fucking want. Like, why yeah. is that a big? Why is that a big reward? That's your cosplay. You need to get fucking me, you, and Damien. Like Beetlejuice in the middle of the girl in two halves.
Uh huh.
Apparently this scene was added in post-production, which means that the entire end of the movie was going to just be a fucking musical number with the emo chick and the football players that played a bit part.
Mm-hmm. I like the headhunter voodoo doctor guy. Man, those sad football players in the back.
So weird. Like, out of, like, looking at it, like, separating all the nostalgia and mm-hmm. everything. It's a weird fucking film.
Yeah.
And again, it's not that great. It's not that solid a film if you really kind of sit down and examine it.
Oh, don't even front. This film is fucking amazing.
but is that just because you, like, if you sat a kid, I'd like to see, you know those people who sit kids down, like, listen to this music from the 90s and let's record your reactions and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you sat somebody down to watch this movie for the very first fucking time, what the fuck would you make of it?
Yeah, okay, it is, you know? Unless you preface it, it is a really rando-ass movie.
It feels like there was a lot of connective tissue that's missing, like a lot of stuff left on the cutting room floor.
I could agree with that.
It's a pastiche, there's some really great moments, but I feel like the stuff that's supposed to be connecting it is not there.
Yeah.
But the stuff that is there is still really fun, so I do overlook the, you know, the patchiness of it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely. Totally fair.
So, I mean, what did you...
okay.
Do you think this holds up after...
Of course it holds up, because it's Tim Burton. Yes, there... I mean, because of your bitchy ass, I have learned more problems with this movie than I ever anticipated. Even when you were talking about all these, like, plot holes in it, I was like, who the fuck are you, man? But, like, now that, like, we watch it again, I totally understand what you're talking about. I still like it. I still think it holds up. I still think it's the shit.
But compared to, like, Tim Burton's other stuff, where would you rank it?
Well, to what? You know, are we talking Big Fish? Are we talking Edward Scissorhands? Because Edward Scissorhands is a fucking masterpiece. Big Fish is really good, but it's polished Tim Burton. This and Scissorhands are like young Tim Burton.
Being, I still, like, think my favorite Tim Burton movie is Sleepy Hollow, I think.
Okay.
That one just holds up really, really well, even now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I do like this. I don't know. The last time I watched this, I definitely forgave a lot more. But now that I'm watching it again, I don't know. There's just so many things leaping out at me that just, like, it's kind of a, I don't know. There's a lot of, there's some problems with it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of forgettable stuff. Like the fact that Beetlejuice and the main characters don't actually meet for the first 45 minutes.
That's
a big deal in, like, movies. You know?
Yeah, that is kind of an issue.
But it's still fun. I'm glad we watched it.
Yeah, thank you for having me once again. My name's Carl Skeens.
My name is Dave Mosley. And we'll see you next time for another Big Gay Date. Thank you and good night.